Did you know that yearly Medicaid renewals will start again soon? This means millions of people who were enrolled in Medicaid during the pandemic may no longer be eligible for coverage. If this may impact you, the good news is you have options. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield can help answer your questions so you can find an affordable health plan for you and your family. We want you to feel confident you're covered. Click to learn more. Policy exclusions and limitations apply. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield is the trade name of Blue Cross Blue Shield Healthcare Plan of Georgia, Inc.
What a relief. There we go. That's what it's supposed to sound like. You hear the voice of Mitch Holthus in there, as well as Andy Reid, obviously Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes. A lot of different audio interspersed so that we know for sure that it works. The technology works now. Way to go, Jay. I like it. Also, my mom had a compliment for you. Would you like to hear it? Okay. I laughed. She told me and I laughed. Well, as many of you know, we did a bunch of videos last week. Six of them, as a matter of fact, our Super Six Super Bowl video series. We had two on Twitter, two on Facebook, and two on YouTube. We bookended the week with YouTube. So we started with a video version of Ask Amy Anything. And man, we've already seen a ton of traffic on that particular post. It's on our YouTube channel. That was how we started the week. And then by the end of the week, we were fairly worn out, kind of fatigued, but we had one more video to do and we recorded it on Friday afternoon. And this was, yes, saving the best for last in terms of the topic, but I'm not sure I was at my best. So you can go and you can watch the video to determine, but I felt as though this was my weakest video performance. I did wear a snazzy hoodie, though, one that I bought for myself for Christmas. And I also had a different hat for every single day of the week and finished with my favorite color. But you'll have to go check it out. That's also on YouTube. It's about snacks and it includes my menu for Super Bowl Sunday, which I did everything on the menu that I said I was going to do. My mom watched the video on Monday and she said, I really like that sweatshirt, which is funny because my brother sent me a text saying the same exact thing. So that was their response. My aunt, though, she said, so my aunt lives in Tucson. She said, ooh, the recipe for the kielbasa sounds amazing because that's my Polish side of the family. Can you send me the recipe? She said, I heard most of it, but I missed the last ingredient. I was like, woohoo! I actually have a family member who wants to know the recipe. But after that feedback, my mom said, I really like Jay's hair without a hat, to which I laughed out loud because for people who have not seen the video, Jay's hair has a mind of its own. That's all I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you anything else and don't give it away because we want people to go watch the video. It's on our YouTube channel. The link is on both Twitter and Facebook, but all you have to do is Google After Hours with Amy Lawrence on YouTube. It's the very last video that's been posted, the most recent. And yeah, we're not getting as much traction. I think that happens after the weekend or on the weekend when I don't have a time to promote it here on the show. But yeah, a bunch of great food options for your next party. It doesn't have to be Super Bowl. And also, my sweatshirt that I bought for myself, it's a throwback, I bought for myself for Christmas, and now my brother wants it. And then the state of Jay's hair, which is all I will say, the state of Jay's hair.
I'm flattered.
Now, he says he combed it. I think it was more his fingers going through it. How do you comb it and have it do that exactly?
I don't know. It's got a mind of its own. But yeah, it's a real brush. Wake up, kind of just, you know.
Well, and don't for a second overlook the fact that he said wake up and do that, because I don't even think you were awake 10 minutes when we did the video.
A little over 10, probably. A little.
I mean, I work, I slave, I come up with these great ideas, I prep, I actually care about what I look like on camera, and then you just wake up for 10 minutes and just sit down.
Your mom thought I looked good, so.
No, she didn't say that. She did not say that. My mother would not say Jay looked good. Ew, that's creepy. What she said was, I like his hair better without the hat. That's what she said.
I mean, I looked good in the video. So,
I mean, if you need to scrape that together for a compliment, then okay. She liked your hair better without the hat, which I've told you a bazillion times. She also said you looked tired. And I was like, well, I mean, that's what happens. He just, I put as much effort into it and Jay just rolls out of bed. That's just kind of how it goes for the two of us. Well. So Mom Likes Your Hair was really the point. And Jay did a lot of work editing these videos. So if you haven't seen them yet, the two on Facebook are pinned to the top of our Facebook page. So easy to find. The two on Twitter, all you got to do is go to my Twitter page or our show Twitter account. So A-Law Radio or After Hours CBS. And right now you should be going there anyway to give us a GIF or an emoji or a meme that describes how you feel about the Super Bowl or the season that was, right? So we're now have got the full season in the books. And when you're there, you can just look for the videos. They're easy to find. And then the two on YouTube that have gotten a lot of traffic as well. So I really liked the original YouTube video that we did to start the week. I felt like I was much more energetic than the one that we did for the snacks on Friday. And yet people who've seen it, one of my neighbors saw it and was like, wow, you have so much energy. I felt like writing back and saying it was all fake because all fake.
Looks good.
Well, I don't care. Well, that's not true. I care what it looks like, but she was not referring to look. She was referring to just in general, probably the volume of my voice. That's what people equate with energy. So check those out, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and then send us your GIFs, your emojis, your memes that would describe, most closely describe how you feel about this football season. And also our phone number. If you too would like to be a celebrity, our friend Jack from Toronto called and felt like a celebrity when he's on the air. I'm so happy that he felt that way. He felt welcome. So you can do that. You can do that by calling us 855-212-4227. I referred to this before we got to the top of the hour and the music went, did us the throat slash. The Kansas City Chiefs victory over the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday right now is on pace to slot in as the third most watched TV show in history. And yes, the other two, first and second place, are both Super Bowls. These are routinely, without question, the highest rated, most viewed shows of the entire year. And when I said to you that a third of the American population would be watching the game on Sunday, I was dead on. 113 million people on average. And that's the preliminary numbers that were released on Monday. Now, Fox included the Fox Deportes, the streaming on Fox, and the NFL's digital site. So you had the streaming numbers as well as the various Fox channels. But these are early returns. And so sometimes the Nielsen numbers from other markets, they take a little longer to filter in. So this is a game. As much as people wanted to say that it was hijacked or the refs destroyed it or blah, 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 whatever, fact is it featured major superstars in the Chiefs as well as in the Eagles, two very passionate markets, lots of interesting and intriguing stories. The teams that were 16-3, both of them, they had scored the exact same number of points. We had the Kelce brothers who were getting so much publicity. It's really funny to me. Somebody wrote to me on Sunday on my Twitter and said, Travis Kelce hijacked the Patrick Mahomes interview. Fox didn't want him in there. And I didn't even bother to respond. But of course, my thought was, are you kidding me? There isn't a hotter property in sports right now than the Kelce brothers. Their podcast, they've only done 26 episodes maybe, and their podcast is one of the most listened to / watched podcasts in the world right now. So yeah, they're hot to trot. Anyway, the Kelces were part of this. Mom Donna was getting a bunch of attention as well. So we've got third highest, well, highest, most viewed, I should say, highest number of viewers for a Super Bowl. It's very awkward. Highest number of viewers for a Super Bowl of all time and for TV shows ever in the history of ratings. So yeah, we're talking about just shy of the Patriots-Seahawks game in 2015. That was on NBC. It holds the record, but this does not include streaming. So they didn't have streaming then. And so instead, it stuck at roughly 114.5 million viewers. And then Super Bowl, Super Bowl 51, which was Patriots and Falcons. I was there. And that one is the second place. But potentially, the Eagles and Chiefs could end up moving into second place and overtaking the Falcons and Patriots, depending on what other numbers they find in the next couple of days. But yeah, pretty impressive. Rams and Bengals was actually 112.3 million viewers on average. So that was pretty high too. But yeah, this year's digital feed, a record 7 million streams. So streaming, as much as people rage against Amazon carrying Thursday Night Football, this streaming business is here to stay. Now, here's something interesting. Oh, the first Super Bowl to be streamed in 2012 just was barely a blip on the radar, so the numbers don't really factor in as much as they do today. Okay, Rihanna's halftime show. Nearly 119 million viewers. So you want to talk about a spike from the average 113 million, and then it spikes during her halftime show, 119 million viewers. Second most watched show in Super Bowl history. Katy Perry was 2015, and she holds the mark for most watched halftime show at 121 million viewers. I mean, these are astronomical numbers. So yes, Rihanna's return, her pregnancy reveal. I already told you it was the first pregnancy reveal of a halftime show in Super Bowl history. And now we know that it was also wildly popular. So pretty impressive. We'll see whether or not this Super Bowl leapfrogs over Falcons and Patriots. But believe it or not, that's what Tom Brady, was feeling. That's what Tom Brady was thinking about. He actually believes there are a lot of comparisons to that game in which the Patriots came back against the Falcons and what he saw from the Chiefs in the second half on Sunday.
In our Atlanta Super Bowl against Atlanta, when we were down 28-3, I mean, we basically couldn't do anything right for 2.5 quarters and really then couldn't do anything wrong for a quarter and a half. Amazing how that game is. And it's almost like two separate games. There's a first half and there's a second half that are normal just halves. But because the length of the day, you know, it does happen quite a bit where, you know, one team plays incredibly well in one half and the next team plays incredibly well in the other. So it was a really, you know, kind of played to the script. Although when I saw Patrick hurt his ankle, I thought there really wasn't much a chance at that point for the Chiefs to find a way to win. But he played his ass off as he always does. And what a champion he is, a great leader. They got a great coaching staff. So many key players made big plays.
Tom Brady on the Let's Go podcast on Sirius XM NFL Radio. Did you hear what he said? He thought that when Mahomes limped off the field and was in obvious pain to the point where he was yelling as he took off his helmet late in the first half, that the Chiefs didn't have much of a chance from that point. Huh. All right. What about Patrick Mahomes? When did he feel the most pain from the Super Bowl with that high ankle sprain?
The only time that it had the real, the real hurt of the ankle was when I got tackled, it kind of rolled to the outside a little bit. And once you have that high ankle sprain, when any little tweak like that happens, it just really magnifies it. Luckily, we're able to get in at halftime and get some new tape on there and some movement to try to get some mobility back. We talked about it with my offensive line. They protected me enough where I was able to sit in there and make the throws. So it was something that I was going to play through. I'm glad I get a little bit of rest on it now.
So they got more tape at halftime. Good thing that that's where they were headed. I guess Andy Reid didn't even bother to go over to the bench and say, hey, go get it checked or you're out. No, there was no chance. As in no chance that he was not going to finish out the game. By the way, I missed this until I came into work last night. Do you know Chad Henne retired? So he puts it out on Twitter after he wins a second ring with the Kansas City Chiefs that he is officially retiring. And a really really cool, but also understated. After a Super Bowl championship, well, that's the best time to go out, but not a lot of attention or fanfare of it. Oh, well, this is crazy. I swear to you, it happens all the time in my studio. I'm looking up at NFL Network. They're replaying the game. And of course, it's the moment when TJ Edwards pulls down Mahomes from behind as he's trying to cut loose and get to the first down marker. And as he pulls him down, wraps his arm around his right ankle and the foot twists. I'm like watching it right now and watching him grimace in pain. Happens all the time.
That does happen all the time.
It really does. I noticed on our Facebook page and also Twitter that many of you are still responding to the questions about favorite commercials or what you thought of the halftime show. And even now, we've got many of you who are responding with your GIFs, emojis, or memes to describe how you feel about the 2022 NFL season, the dearly departed season that was. Let's do one more with Tom Brady here because I like his input. We all know that the James Bradberry holding flag was maybe more talked about than anything else, which is astounding, but I guess not so much if you know sports fans. And he weighs in on his Let's Go podcast about that call that was made with, what was it, just under 2 minutes to go in the game.
It's always, I think, easier not to call it. The hard one is when you do call it, because there's a lot of scrutiny with that call. And I think the point is at least from a receiver DB standpoint, you know, if you're not going to cover them, you know, let's say within the letter of the law, and you're going to tug at them, you can impede the receiver from where he wants to go and create an almost impossible throw and catch by the quarterback. And at the same time, on the other side of the ball, if the receiver pushes off, there's really nothing the DB can do in order to make the play. So it's such a hard situation because you don't know how the game's being called all day long. There's absolutely plays where the DBs hold all the time. And there's absolutely plays where the receivers can push off. There's absolutely every play in the game where the offensive line is holding a D lineman and vice versa. There's absolutely plays where the D line is holding the O lineman. So, you know, those plays come up all the time. They could be called in every part of the game, they could be called. I'm sure there were lots of other holds that were let go. There was probably a few that they called. And, you know, in the end, you just have to, you know, the ref's trying to do the best that he could do. So I don't get caught up too much on, you know, one call. I think I've been in sports long enough where I realize there's a lot of things that impact the game. And, you know, one referee's call, yeah, it's important. But, you know, the referees are doing the best they could do. And they're not robots either. Maybe one day there will be robots calling games and everyone will be perfect.
No.
It'll be like Wimbledon where, you know, every call is perfect. But, you know, what would happen? John McEnroe, you know, he wouldn't be the John McEnroe we know if there were a bunch of, you know, video replays either. So it's just, that's the way sports are.
I appreciate that from a grizzled veteran. And that is the analysis, maybe a glimpse of the analysis that you can expect from Tom Brady when he gets into the broadcast booth because he is taking over. You know what I couldn't believe that actually got out there on social, Jay? I'm not sure if you saw this, and I'd have to go back and figure out who reported it. If it was an NFL report, like an NFL reporting Twitter, or if it was, I can't imagine it was Fox itself. This would be very tacky if it was the broadcasting company, that Greg Olson will cede his seat next to Kevin Burkhardt. So he will no longer be the number one analyst for the NFL once Tom Brady enters the venue, enters the equation. He enters the arena. That's what happens. Everybody else pales, right, when it comes to Tom Brady. So he will enter the arena. Greg Olson will exit stage left. I don't know if they'll put him on a different crew. The problem is, what are you going to do, bump the number two guy? I mean, that's not right either. Well, it's not fair. Life is not fair, nor is broadcasting, let me just tell you. So there is a chance that the next analyst could get bumped, or that they could pull a different analyst they don't like as much and end up subbing in Greg Olson, who has done a great job in the number one spot. So I don't know how they're going to handle it. But what was out there on social that I thought was extremely tacky, and maybe it's not true, but maybe it is, that he's taking a significant pay cut because he's no longer in that number one analyst chair.
they said that about Greg Olson? Yeah, that could not have been released by the...
Well, no, I didn't think it was released by Fox. I just can't remember what Twitter account it was. If it was a media company reporting, like a media watchdog, or if it was an NFL outlet that was reporting it. But yeah, that's extremely tacky. I understand the economics of it. Trust me, I work in radio my whole life. I totally get it. I just thought that was really ew. He's going to take a significant pay cut. What, are you the one paying him? What is it to you? It just seems like icky thing to report, I guess.
Yeah, I see it here from Sporting News NFL, a Twitter account, which is a verified account and about 18,000 followers. I don't know. I don't like that.
Mm-mm. It's icky. It's very tacky. Right. And I think unprofessional. Of course, I guess if it's not their profession, maybe they don't care, but just it seemed like a weird way to present it.
They turned off comments on the tweet, too.
Of course they did. If you can't take the heat, I don't turn off my comments, but I do turn off my DMs because I do not want to deal with Twitter or Facebook DMs.
That's normal.
All right. You can find us on Twitter or Facebook now because we're asking for your GIFs, emojis, and memes that will describe the 2022 season in your opinion. So not the fact that it's over, though I know some of you are crying. Not crying so hard you're laughing, just straight crying because it's over. I'm okay with it. I need a break. I love the NFL, but it is all consuming, and I will be okay with having my Sundays back for a few months. Pretty soon we're going to be into March Madness, and then it's going to be the NBA and NHL playoffs. It's at least a breather for Sundays for now anyway. All right, what do we want to do straight ahead? How about some of DeMar Hamlin with Michael Strahan? And we spoke about this, didn't have an opportunity to use the audio on our Super Bowl postgame show, but this took place in advance of the Super Bowl. And candid DeMar Hamlin, open, emotional DeMar Hamlin, as we have come to know him since his cardiac arrest on the field and the interviews that he has done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
First and foremost, I just want to say thank you. Just thank God for being here. And thank the other guys who are nominated for the award as well, who, you know, did the work in their communities alongside of me as well. Giving back to my community has always been a big part of who I am. Thankful to my father, who's right here behind me. Growing up, just watching him do community days in our community, and I just always was waiting on my time when it came. One of my favorite quotes, it's a blessing to be a blessing. With that being said, I plan to never take this position for granted and always have an urgent approach in making a difference in the community where I come from, and also communities across the world.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
DeMar Hamlin earning the Alan Page Community Award given by the NFL Players Association. And at that point, he was standing on a stage with minimal fanfare, his parents behind him, but this was not a televised award ceremony like the NFL Honors, when he was brought up on stage to speak for a moment in front of the medical teams, the doctors, the nurses, the first responders who saved his life and treated him in the wake of his cardiac arrest. So we saw him both in front of the NFLPA as well as in front of the NFL Honors there in Phoenix. And he was also on field again with the medical teams, the first responders before the game, which I really appreciated. They were so happy to see him. They were so happy to hug him and give him high fives and hand slaps and daps. It was just so neat to see the joy on their faces. But DeMar was also in a more serious setting with Michael Strahan when he did a pre-show interview on Fox. Michael Strahan is part of Fox and their coverage, but he's with Good Morning America. So this was an interview that he did for Good Morning America. Please forgive me. And Michael asked him, what was the first thing he remembered about waking up in the hospital? What would have been that Wednesday evening? Because the cardiac arrest happened on a Monday night.
Just hearing family members, my mom, my dad, friends that were there. And first thing I said when I woke up was, did we win? You know, I was thinking about the
game. Do you realize? When I saw that, I said, okay, he's an athlete. He's committed.
I'm competitive. That competitive nature in me was just still just thinking about the game. And I just wanted to know, like, did we win? Like
and
I said,
what did they tell you?
Yes, I won. I won the game of life.
So the story that we got from the doctors is completely 100% accurate. The first thing he said is, did we win? But the brain does funny things, right? When you're, and in this case, it was an induced coma. When you are out of it or you're conscious, you're not conscious, so your consciousness is not aware of time and space necessarily, you can be... I don't want to say confused, but you can have no perception of how much time has passed. And in his mind, it was right after the game. He was there, and it was right after the game, and that was the last thing that he remembered is being on the field with his teammates. So that's, again, with Michael Strahan, and then the support that he received afterwards. Obviously, we've seen it. Well, we were part of it here on the show. You all were part of it with the prayers, with the support financially to his Chasing M's Foundation. And certainly that has been overwhelming for DeMar.
I couldn't even believe it. It just showed the unity of our league and the entire world, you know? And I really feel like the whole situation showed that we can all come together. It was just a surreal moment.
Yeah, and it still continues. I have said this again and again. I'm so impressed with the poise and the maturity of this young man, but also his cognizance of his purpose and the fact that this happened for a reason. And he's mentioned his faith and he's mentioned God at every turn. And he's not complaining. He's not throwing a pity party, at least not publicly. Every time we've seen him in the spotlight now, he's grateful to be alive, but he's thankful for the people around him, for the Bills, for the NFL as a whole, for the people, the fans, for the opportunity that he has in front of him now, certainly for the people who saved his life. It's been humbling to see him handle this with such humility and to know that this, for some people, this would go straight to their heads, their newfound fame, right? He's become far more famous and renowned because of what happened on the field than he may ever have been just simply by playing football. And he now recognizes that his purpose is something different. And it's not a path that he would have chosen. And yet he understands that it's exceedingly abundantly beyond what he asked or ever thought when he set out to play football. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Definitely not easy along the way, including the health challenges. He tells Michael Strahan the toughest part of this whole situation.
Just processing my emotions. And also, you know, I'm a person who I kind of like my privacy in a way, but you know, this situation kind of just brought me to the light of the world, which is a good thing in a way, because I really feel like I stand for so much good, and you know, I want to be a good example for, you know, communities around the world. There's a reason behind everything.
See what I mean? Every single time he has the opportunity, he points the spotlight away from himself and more on the opportunity that he now has to do good elsewhere. But does he want to play football again?
Eventually, you know, that's always the goal. Like I said, as a competitor, you know, I'm trying to do things just to keep advancing my situation, you know, but I'm allowing that to be in God's hands. I'm just thankful he gave me a second chance.
Me too. Me too. And that is God. Second chances, third chances, fourth chances, fifth chances a lot of times. Lots of mercy there, and certainly lots of prayers that helped to save his life and maybe gave strength and clarity to the medical teams, even as they were working with a sense of urgency. I'm not kidding. It's happening again. I'm looking up and seeing Michael Strahan and DeMar Hamlin on my TV screen. What is that about? Are they spying on me?
Meta.
Why would Meta be involved with our TVs? But you know, Google listens to you. I mean, I love Google. I don't know what I would do without it. I love Amazon. I don't know what I'd do that without that either, but I'm pretty sure Google spies on us too.
Are these smart TVs in here?
My phone is sitting right here. Not only does it refuse to send all my text messages, but maybe it's spying on me and communicating with the, it's like E.T., phone home, communicating with the TV.
Some like droid action going on here. These electronic.
No joke. Damar Hamlin is on the screen in front of me right now talking to Michael Strahan.
No, I mean, it honestly really does happen.
A lot.
A lot. Like uncanny.
Are we that predictable?
I don't know. Maybe.
But it's not just that. Rihanna is performing currently again. Interesting stuff that was taking place during the halftime show. I thought she was bold, definitely bold, and I admire her for going through with the halftime show in spite of the fact that she is very clearly pregnant and wasn't able to dance the way that she normally would. But her voice is still Rihanna, still incredible, and she definitely made a statement. The dancers, well, I'll just say I can't dance like that. That's not my... It's not my gift.
I don't know if you want to.
Wait, you're the one that said in our YouTube video that you were going to work up an appetite by dancing. So I want to know whether or not you danced during Rihanna.
No, not for that. It didn't really get me moving like that. I thought she was great. She looked great. The pregnancy thing was awesome. And she sounded, her voice is incredible. But
the pregnancy thing. I like that.
Well,
the pregnancy thing.
The reveal was cool. Like, that was a cool thing. That was a moment.
Did your sister or your mom have to tell you that's what was happening?
No, I knew, but my older sister did right away go, she goes, Rihanna looks pregnant. She's pregnant. Within the first, no kidding, 5 seconds, she goes, Rihanna looks pregnant, and nailed it. So
nailed it. What an awkward way to phrase that. Okay.
Yeah. Well, yeah, right. But I don't know, the show itself, it didn't really have the energy for me, so I wasn't really dancing.
No?
No. I don't know.
Did you dance last year with Dre?
A little bit. That
50
one was
Cent.
Cool. That one was cooler. Yeah, the Eminem part, that got me moving.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing. I thought she did great as well, but it. Yeah, the dancers just...
Yeah.
It's almost like I couldn't look away.
You're right. I was more like fixed more than what
fixated.
They were doing than
you were fixated.
Enjoying it. I don't know.
All right. So Damar Hamlin, good to hear from him. Good to see him. All of that is amazing. What do we want to do next? I'm not really feeling the basketball right now. We'll go back to some of the other, you know what? Andy Reid. Andy Reid did a variety of interviews too on his Monday because that's required. And he talked about a bunch of different topics that we hadn't heard from or I hadn't heard from him. And then Isaiah Pacheco, the big reveal about how the comeback in the second half was possible for the Chiefs. And I realized after I put the question out there with producer Jay that, yes, we absolutely want your GIFs, your memes, your emojis to describe the 2022 season that was, except I can't share those on the air. It's not a radio-friendly topic or a radio-friendly question, I should say.
I feel like there are enough GIFs or memes out there where if you just describe it, people will know exactly the one. Like the one
that's
you described,
true.
The Michael Scott one that one time, and it was obvious the face he was making in the GIF.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
He's the best coach I've ever had about how he connects with players from everywhere. And I think you heard Frank Clark talk about it, is no matter where you're from, he can connect with you. And you can tell he cares about you as a man as much as he does about a player. And so if there's something that's going on in your life, he's going to ask you about it. He's not going to worry about how you're practicing or hey, he needs you to be better here and here. He's going to ask you what's going on. He's going to get that info from you. And he's going to do whatever he can to help. And I think that's been the biggest thing. That's why every player that leaves Coach Reid talks so highly of him, because it's not about, I mean, obviously he wants to win football games and be great, but he cares about the men that step in that locker room and how can he make them better whenever they leave it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
High praise from Patrick Mahomes for his head coach. Even now, 24-14, early third quarter, Mahomes is leading what will be the first scoring drive of the second half for the Chiefs of his 3 touchdown passes in the second half. And I am so impressed with the way that Andy Reid called the second half. Amazing. and I know I've made this quirky joke before, but never let it be said that he and his coaching staff do not know how to manage end of game situations, because they played it perfectly to the point where the Eagles did not get the ball back until there was no time left and no hope for them. So I was blown away by his choice of offensive plays, the options. We now know that the touchdown that they scored with, well, to go ahead, which would have been, was that the Sky Moore touchdown or the Kadarius Toney? No, Kadarius Toney put them ahead, right? I think Kadarius Toney put them ahead, but I'd have to go back and look at my notes. It's not like I didn't take extensive notes. We now know that that play, the go-ahead touchdown, was called the corn dog. Maybe it was the Sky Moore. No, it wasn't. It was the Kadarius Toney. What? Are you sure? I guess I'm about to see it here in a second. No, I'm telling you, Kadarius Toney scored when they were down 27-21 and gave them their first lead of the game at 28-27.
All right, maybe the Moore just extended the lead at that point.
Yeah, they went up. Yeah, they went up then 35-27 after that, but they did have Kadarius Toney and then Sky Moore. And I think it's amazing testimony to Brett Veach as well as Patrick Mahomes, sure, but the coaching staff, that they have three guys who are first-year Chiefs who score in that Super Bowl, considering what Tyreek Hill told us, that they were going to take a hit when he left. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Andy Reid answering a variety of questions, like Jerick McKinnon, who knew? He knew to slide at the 1 yard line, even as he could have scampered into the end zone, but that would have resulted in the Chiefs giving the ball back to the Eagles in the late stages.
We practice it every Friday. You don't get to use it very often, but on the biggest stage, we're able to use it.
That's super cool, right? These things that you practice and you do it every week. Every week, a lot of teams work on their 2-minute drills and the various situations on Fridays. And what are the chances that you actually use it? And yet you'll hear that every now and then, some play that sticks with us, a play that becomes a turning point, and teams will say, we practice it all the time, but we're never sure that we would have to use it. So good for Andy Reid, his coaching staff, for having Jerick McKinnon prepared and the offense prepared in that moment. And he continued to rave about Eric Bieniemy on Monday, like he did on Sunday. He highlighted Bieniemy, his offensive coordinator, twice. Once when the Fox reporter caught up with him on the field. I think it was Tom Rinaldi who caught up with him. That was the one where he said, I could kiss you right now, but since we're on national TV, I won't. And he was highlighting Eric Bieniemy, but also he gets up on the dais and he once again speaks about Eric Bieniemy and how instrumental he was in the late stages of this game. And so Bieniemy now has interviews for other offensive coordinator jobs, and Andy continues to praise him publicly.
Eric Bieniemy has been tremendous for us, and I think is tremendous for the National Football League, and I'm hoping he has an opportunity to go somewhere and you know, do his thing where he can run the show and be Eric Bieniemy.
Now, see, that is the phrase that was out there all over social media, really the phrase that would catch your attention, is Reid wants Bieniemy to go somewhere and run the show. And what have we heard as a potential knock on Bieniemy? Forget the fact that it wasn't a knock on any of the other offensive coordinators that left Andy Reid's coaching staff to become head coaches elsewhere. But for Bieniemy, people point to the knock on him is that he's not calling the plays. There are a lot of places where the head coach calls the plays, but you know the offensive staff is part of it. So it shouldn't be a knock on Bieniemy. And yet here is this possible split coming between Reid and Bieniemy. Why? Because Eric needs to go somewhere else. He's interviewed with so many different teams in the NFL for their head coaching jobs. He's been passed over now 3 seasons, really, where he's been in the spotlight and actually is starting to get fewer interviews now. So good for Andy Reid, who believes in this guy. Reid has the most productive coaching tree in the NFL. He's got the most prolific coaching tree in the NFL. Bieniemy deserves an opportunity, but he's got interviews with other teams for their OC jobs because he apparently needs to get out from underneath the Andy Reid shadow to maybe get a chance. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Nick Sirianni, even though the team lost, just wants to point to Jalen Hurts as a guy who maybe showed us the best is yet to come.
He was outstanding. I really thought he was in complete control. He did things with his legs in the run game. He did things with his arm in the pass game. Made some unbelievable throws, unbelievable reads. I thought he played outstanding, and you know, and really you look at the game, and that was good for the NFL in the sense that the two best quarterbacks in the NFL played against each other on the biggest stage and the biggest lights.
Well, and 113 million people averaged watching this Super Bowl. I mean, it's the third most watched TV show of all time and could potentially creep up to that number two spot. Let's do one more here. Isaiah Pacheco, how did the Chiefs come back in that second half?
I'll say we allowed our personalities to show. We came to one and we rise as one to the occasion. 11 guys played their hearts out on that ball, and that's what it takes for 11 guys to play their hearts out or the job wouldn't get done.
I agree with him. You could see them going for broke and everybody winning their individual battles and doing what was required, and very few mistakes there in the second half by the Chiefs. And I continue to come back to not all of them, right? Because Isaiah Pacheco's a rookie. He scores. Sky Moore, a rookie. He scores. Although Jay could have scored on that play with Sky Moore because he was so wide open. There's nobody around him. It was almost the exact opposite of what we saw on the other side with Kadarius Toney when he scored. Both those guys so completely wide open. So you've got three first-year players with the Chiefs scoring. But the fact is the core, Mahomes and some of those defensive players and Kelce and the coaching staff, so much experience in the pressure-packed moments that they remain calm and poised. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.